Hi, it's Chad, and you may have noticed that this is a shorter podcast interview. We're still doing the full 60-minute interviews, but with the private membership that we have going, we're reserving the last half of the interview for questions specifically for membership. We're full this year, but we will be opening up more spots in 2025. So if you want to stay on top of that, please head over to our website, industrialize.com, and fill out your name and we'll add you to the waiting list. Thanks for tuning in. We really appreciate your support. Hey, Mark, good to see you again. Thanks for so much for joining me on the call.
Absolutely. Great to be here, Chad. Good to see you again. Last time I think we saw you was in Chicago.
I think it was. Yeah. Absolutely. And hopefully we'll see you in Florida in the spring here too.
Absolutely will.
Yeah. So you, last time you and I chatted in Chicago, we talked a lot about AI. And that's why I wanted to bring you back on the show again, just to chat more about that, because I think a lot of people hear that right now, especially with NVIDIA having that massive stock appreciation. They're a $2 trillion company right now. I think it's safe to say that AI is here to stay. There's a lot of people that are aware of it. Perhaps some are using ChatGPT and maybe some other ones, but I know that you used AI extensively in your business. So wanted to just explore that in more detail and really get a sense of how AI's worked into your business, some of the tools that you're using, some of the benefit that you're getting, and perhaps even some advice that you'd have for other people on how they could use AI.
Yeah. So I think it's a great collaborative conversation, right? Because I don't think anybody has the answer on AI. I think Sam Altman's comment was that today's AI is the equivalent of your first cell phone. You know, that's kind of what stage we're in. So I think it's just something that keeps developing. And I have some great conversations with commercial real estate to people, especially SIORs, on how they're using it as well. So we're kind of stealing ideas from each other, right? As we should be, which is kind of the benefits of the organization. We went into AI probably just like everybody else did. What was it? The fall of 2000. Would that be? I'm dating myself to 2022, right? When they came out with
Her name is Catherine.
Yep. When they came out with all the with chat.
Just one second there, Mark. I think you got muted there.
Got muted by somebody. All right. Yep. All right. So let me back up a little bit. So we got into AI basically when in depth when ChatGPT was announced by OpenAI back in the fall of 2022. We were playing around with things before that, but nobody really knew what the heck to do with it. We knew about the concept, but we really didn't. We talked about automation, all of those things, but we didn't know how to execute it. Even when the ChatGPT came in, we started playing with that, and we had somebody kind of learning about it. And so we started getting these updates on this is what you can do with ChatGPT. And, you know, you can give it all these queries and it comes back and gives you a lot of really in-depth answers. You can kind of explore those answers further. But when it came to actually using it in our practices, which is when I say our practices, our property management, construction management, and brokerage practices, we weren't really doing anything concrete. And so I think I was telling you back in Chicago that we'd said, you know, time out. Let's start talking about how we actually have deliverables, how we actually have concrete experiences where we can derive some metrics from it and actually say, hey, yeah, we're using it and it's actually helping us. Up to that point, I think a lot of what we were doing was would have been in our marketing side. So a lot of our press releases, a lot of our social posts, and I don't mean just my personal social posts, but certainly from a company standpoint, market news, those kind of things were all starting to get derived by ChatGPT, right? And everybody says, hey, you know, you're going to have ChatGPT talking for you. It's really not ChatGPT talking for you. It's really ChatGPT starting to line up stuff for you, right? And you just start getting this kind of base of, and you start going, whoa, that actually looks pretty cool. And you start editing it from there. And so we're using it for those basic purposes. And we still, to this day, do. So one of the applications we use is if you go on our website and you go to market news, which is not just the deals we do, but just general market news in our area, well, a lot of that stuff is initiated by ChatGPT and then developed from there. Any kind of press releases and those things. And so then shortly before I saw you, I believe we hired somebody and we were saying, hey, listen, we need something to actually have where we can apply. And so just before I met you, we actually hired somebody who's really on board with us, probably upwards of about 20 hours a week, who is responsible for setting us up with the things that we need to do in order to utilize it. And so we started off with ChatGPT. We've evolved here to Copilot because we are Microsoft 365. So we actually use Copilot and ChatGPT now. And we use those for a bunch of different functions. And I don't know if you want me to get into those functions now or you want that to develop. That's up to you.
Yeah, I'd love to hear more. The Copilot one, I don't know that well.
Yeah, and I'm going to talk like, I don't know if I'm going to talk like an expert. I'm going to talk like I know what the hell I'm doing. But the actual reality is that it's the guy that we hired, which actually is my brother, who was actually responsible for tech in his school district and just in a district outside of Hartford. They do a lot of work with AI. And I said, hey, you know what? Can I tap into your knowledge base, hire you, and have you come on board? And so we're actually using him for those purposes. So what are the things we're doing? So Copilot is a tool for Microsoft. And so we can attach that directly to our Microsoft 365 because we're a Microsoft family. Now, if you're a Google family, if you're using Google in your operations, Copilot might not be such a great thing for you. But in this case, we are Microsoft 365. So we are actually testing that out now because we initially embraced ChatGPT and we still have embraced ChatGPT, but because Microsoft has come out with their product and their product attaches to the 365 products, Word, Teams, and those kind of things, we're now testing that out as being our primary AI vehicle. And that's brand new. We literally just signed up for the paid versions on those the last couple of days. So what are some of the things that we're doing, whether it's ChatGPT or Copilot? And right now, I think both can do generally the same thing. So in ChatGPT, which is the more generally well-known by everybody, our AI guy will set up what we call assistant pages. So we got the brokerage department, we've got the brokerage group, we've got the property management group, we've got the construction management group, and we have a marketing group, and we have an administrative group. And each of those groups have an assistant page for ChatGPT, which is populated with, in the case of administration, administrative type of functions and administration types of mentality. So when you're having that conversation with ChatGPT, you're having it on an administrative level. The functions that assistant has are administrative driven. So what the administration group might have for a ChatGPT assistant is different than the marketing group, different than the brokerage group, and so on and so forth. I have I have an assistant to the president, ChatGPT, and that is specific to the things that I do during the day. All right. So to give you an example, like on the brokerage side, what are things maybe that we're doing on the brokerage side and a little bit of an offshoot on the property management side? Lease abstracts. So the assistant page has been built so that when you dump a lease into the ChatGPT, it will spit you out the lease abstract that we want, right? And probably at this point, about 95% plus fully accurate. What other things? Purchase sale agreement. You want to pump out the salient dates of a purchase sale agreement rather than reading every single thing of that purchase sale agreement. Dump it into your assistant. It'll then pump out the salient dates for that purchase sale agreement. Things like property management. Property management, same thing on lease, kind of lease administration. It might be pumping in three different kinds. So you go out and get proposals, right? Property management, let's call it snow plowing proposals, snow removal. They'll be able to pump a proposal in and get the salient items out of that. And then they'll also be able to pump in three different documents. I'm just using the number three just as an example, the three different proposals, and it will spit out the differences in those proposals. So rather than actually taking every minute and trying to look at each one of those proposals, purchase sale agreements, leases, these things are doing that work for you. You can also then, if it doesn't come back the way you want, you can also, again, the reason why it's called ChatGPT is because it's a chat. It's an actual conversation with your assistant. And then you might type back in and say, you know, can you clarify that termination date? And it's going to then do its search and come back and maybe clarify that termination date as an example. for our documents when we're doing proposals, when we're doing listing agreements, things like that. We have systems where you can dump in the document. You can write to ChatGPT, I'm looking for a listing agreement for X property for what percent, whatever, all the terms, and it will then come back with a populated document. So a lot of those functions that take a lot of administrative time, or just things that are repetitive, are still coming back, and we're using ChatGPT for those functions.
What I've heard before that with ChatGPT being an open forum, that if you put a document on there, and a lease is a natural example, that in theory, and I don't know how easy it would be for someone to actually access, but in theory, that information all goes into a database that's accessible by other people. Is there any security or confidentiality steps you can take to protect that?
I believe there are, and we've obviously talked to our guy for that over and over and over, because we don't want our leases dumped out on the public system, right? So my understanding is those are protected. I think originally, again, this is the world according to Mark. I'm not the exact expert on those kind of things, right? But obviously we talk about those kind of risk. And as I understand it, the risk is gone. I think originally ChatGPT, that was a concern and it was actually reality. I don't believe we're using ChatGPT for. All of our people use ChatGPT for, so the paid version. And I believe the case is that the information is not dumped on the public forum. Now there are two different, right? So you got ChatGPT, you got ChatGPT-4, and ChatGPT-4 is the paid version. And that is also the version that's updated all the way to today. I believe the ChatGPT free version is still only to 2021. I would only search back to 2021. Yeah.
Yeah. And Steve just commented in that's the value of Copilot versus ChatGPT, is that Copilot lets you keep it confidential. I think you're right too, that the new version perhaps has more mechanisms in place to prevent that from being put into public domain. But if anyone else knows on that, that'd be helpful if you could chime in. One point that you mentioned as well that I wanted to explore a bit more is that you mentioned that each division has its own assistant and on the platform, and you have your own assistant. What's the difference between having an actual designated assistant versus just using the ChatGPT is just ask the same thing into there? Do you have to set one up, or what's the process on that?
Right. The exact process, not positive, but yes, the answer is you have to set one up. So my assistant was set up specifically for me. My personality, my job function, the things that I need is specifically set up for that, which is different than, say, one of our brokers, even though I do a lot of brokerage functions. That would be different from just a general broker. ChatGPT learns your personality. It also learns what you do. And you got to remember, so just dumping in a lease abstract and asking for it to pump back a lease abstract is not something that ChatGPT does perfectly, right? You actually have to feed it the criteria initially for what you want to get returned on your lease abstract. So the command that you're giving, and when you dump that lease in, is specific to the prompt per se that's been built for that assistant. And those prompts are all built by, in this case, my brother.
What is there a risk of over-reliance on technology, and maybe this just extends even beyond ChatGPT to other AI, because you mentioned it's 95% correct, and that's great if someone's actually going and fixing that 5% that's wrong. But does it take somebody going and cross-referencing it? So you go and do a lease abstract and it takes out a few critical dates or it takes out a few critical terms, perhaps there's an option to renew. But if it misses one of those or gets the date confused, do you have to essentially go back and cross-reference the entire thing? Or how much reliance are you or should we be putting on AI?
Well, that's the trillion-dollar question, right? So AI is still very controversial, will be for a long time. You know, are you relying, as you said, 100% on the results? The answer is we are not. I'm not the one that goes in and cleans up the lease abstracts, but the reality is if we do have any kind of, we do look at those lease abstracts, we make sure they're accurate. There's a difference between reading a lease and skimming a lease, right? And so if you're now looking at that lease abstract, and that's the one that I was saying was 95% accurate, it might be 100% accurate. When you're going out and you're going to skim, you're going to look at that lease abstract, you're going to look at certain salient points of that, right? And then if you're, and if you did the lease, you know that it was to look at something and go, that doesn't look right. So you're going to go back and you're going to read that section of the lease. You don't have to read the entire lease. And you got to remember with the lease, when you're doing lease abstracts, I don't know what the number is, but is it 20% of the lease? I don't even think it's 20% of the lease that's contained in the lease abstract. It's really specific areas. And it depends what you look for in the lease abstract. So I don't think you're going back and, as you said, kind of recreating, or your reference, kind of recreating the wheel. You're not. There's a huge savings of time. But conversely, you can't just get your lease abstract from ChatGPT, close it up, send it out to your client and say, there it is. That'd be irresponsible. Just as, so we, I give another application. We got just kind of to facilities management. So we got into facilities management about a year ago. So it's a kind of an offshoot of our property management. We had never done facilities management, but we had been given an opportunity to do facilities management by a client of ours who knew we weren't experts in it, but was like, hey, we would like you guys. We trust you guys. We'd like to do, you got it. Can you give us a proposal? Candidly, I started typing out this proposal and started amending a property management proposal. And it was like, this is a freaking nightmare. Because I know, number one, I don't know what I don't know. And number two, we're trying to really amend everything to make it look like a facilities management. I finally said, done. I went to ChatGPT, boom, boom, boom. Give me a facilities management contract based on a size property of this, based on the scope of services. Hit, bang. 90% of that proposal that came out, we use in our proposal. And guess what? We won the contract. And it probably saved me literally a day of work. But you need to amend it.
Yeah, I suppose it's like having an assistant. If you hire somebody new or even somebody experienced, you still need to check over on the work that they're doing before it gets sent out to the client. No different than a lawyer. And I think Ron Rohde is on here, who's a lawyer, and he's embracing AI as well. He was not just going to go and have his assistant or AI pump out a legal contract and then send it to his client. I'd hope he'd review it. Ron can chime in later on that. More like thinking down the road, I still do want to explore a few things. I want to still get your thoughts on like what people could do right now for AI and like some easy steps that someone can take if they're not using it. But where do you see AI actually going to? Is it going to start replacing brokers? Is it going to start changing the way that brokerage job is done? Where do you see this evolving to, even in the near future?
Put the broker job aside, as far as like that's another $1 trillion question. Is, are we all going to get replaced by robots, right, or by AI? Number one, I don't think we will. I don't think AI, and this is probably a pretty common answer, I don't think AI is replacing the practitioner, whether that's a property manager, whether that's a construction manager, whether that's a broker, whether that's an attorney, whatever it might be. I think it is going to replace some of the functions and some of the things they need to do in order to be a good broker. I think it's going to supplement things that I do and it already does in a day, so that I don't need to do things that are very laborious. I don't need to outsource some of these things, because some of the stuff you would outsource maybe to a virtual assistant, or maybe you would bog your administrative staff down to do things that were just laborious as well. So I think it frees you up to do much more high functioning value added work, right? You only have so much capacity in a day. And so these things kind of free us up from getting bogged down in that and actually adding more to what we do in a day, and to be more thoughtful about what we do. So rather than be exhausted because you just read a lease page, word for word for word, now you've got a lease abstract that pumps out and now you can do some real value. Give you an example. Do we take on a property and property management? We had a property that we took on, had 90 leases, 90 tenants in there. I mean, to read every one of those leases is just tedious and expensive. And even if it's on, if it's staff that's already on board, you're still just sucking time right out the door with them. You put these things now into ChatGPT, I can't tell you just how quickly it becomes. Now we actually start doing more of our property management, and we actually start being more thoughtful of those leases. So you're just doing, I think, better work. Arguably, are you today would might be you might be thinking you're going to replace somebody, especially from maybe from the administrative side. If you take that quote by Sam Altman, which is we're just at the, you know, this your AI today is just like your first cell phone. There is so much growth to go in this industry that it's really, we're now having administrative people trying to keep up with just the fast growth of the capabilities. So I don't think it's replacing that person. It's more us just trying to keep ahead of the curve. I think brokers, and just as a point of brokers are replacing brokers. I think if you're a broker that all you did was a client and Chad was my client and Chad said, hey, Mark, I want you to do a search for, I want you to represent us, I should say, for 100,000 square foot distribution center acquisition. And all I did was I went on CoStar and I just pumped out a survey of CoStar and I sent it over to Chad. You know what? If that's all I do, if that's all the services that I was offering you, then guess what? I should become, extinct, right? You need to do deeper services. And so as we get things like ChatGPT or Copilot or whatever they may be, those are going to allow us to actually do deeper services to you. So rather than just spitting out data, which we already know other things can do, I'm doing deeper services and offering more value to you because you, as you know, you can go online and get your own study.
Yeah, well said. Are you following the NAR, the National Association of Realtor, legal turmoil that they're going through at all?
Just a bit, yes.
What are your thoughts on that? I know it's somewhat unrelated, but I think that there is some correlation there between the residential industry and what perhaps could come to the commercial industry. What are your thoughts on what's going on there?
Yeah, I think number one, it's a little bit localized as far as, you know, when you use that MLS as the basis of that decision, right? The reality is you're doing dual contracts. You got buyers, sellers who don't want to pay the buying side, and if they want to pay based on the representation and those kind of things. I think those rules differ in MLSs throughout the country, and I think they're probably a lot similar now because they removed some of the components, and they actually removed some of these components that got them in trouble well before the lawsuits occurred, but the damage had already been done. I don't think generally commercial world has those kind of systems in place. I do think the commercial world needs to deal probably a lot more sincerely with the issue of who pays who and does the fee follow the representation. Obviously, you go out to a lot of parts of Europe. Guess what? If you represent the buyer, you get paid by the buyer. You represent the seller, you get paid by the seller. And I do think that's probably just personally, I think that's a much cleaner way to have it done. And do I think that will affect the commercial world out in the future? I do. But I think that's for a good part. My concern about NAR is, will they be around? You get a $1.8 billion lawsuit, and then there's all these other, if people call them copycat lawsuits, but they're real lawsuits. Are you going to survive? And then if you do survive, what is your value? And I'm not sure what their value proposition is. And that's not, I'm not hoping NAR goes away by any means, because I think for us, they add a great value for the legislative side. And there are voice to the industry. You know, when you talk about essential workers for COVID, when you look at the 1031 exchange in the States, those kind of things are very much because of NAR. I'm a little worried about losing that component. But that said, I don't know. What's your other value?
Yeah, and perhaps that is the tie-in. It always just does come back to value, no matter what it is. If you're charging a fee for a service and NAR charges a fee to the membership for a service, if there's not a clear and present value there, that will be disrupted. And that'll be disrupted if you're a massive organization like NAR, and it might be disrupted by way of all the lawsuits. And Ron and I had talked about that extensively in the past too, is that it's coming, and they're going to be in litigation for years as they appeal, and then probably have to get enter into new ones, and then state level, and then federally. Like, it's just a mess for them. Like, there's not a good outcome that comes from this, especially as it brings the whole situation into the spotlight, where now all the agents are starting to say, well, do we need NAR? Individually, do you actually need NAR? So yeah, that will be quite fascinating to see how this unfolds.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm not sure anybody knows how it's going to unfold. I think there's a lot left of this story. Obviously, there's been a huge disruption at NAR, and obviously losing Bob Goldberg, stepped down as CEO. I'm not sure that's a specific response to the loss loss of the lawsuit. I don't think it was, but he also had a president that stepped down right behind him, and so there's been a shakeup there, and it's going to be curious how that they figure this thing out.
Yeah, well, it's everybody's got to retool right now, and anytime we're in the face of disruptive technology like AI is proving to be, it's everybody's got to look and evaluate how they actually start tinkering and adjusting their business model, all the way down from us individually to large corporations. Want to see if anyone else has any questions in here, so I'll give anyone an opportunity to just throw your question into the chat. But one thing that I wanted to do just before we get there is, if you're somebody right now who perhaps has dabbled a little bit in ChatGPT and maybe queried it and asked it a few questions but hasn't seen how it could actually help their business, and this could be even just be someone new at your office that just starts, what would you recommend to somebody to do to dip their toe, going from dipping their toe into actually putting on their swimsuit and jumping in the water here?
Yeah, because if you dip your toe in the water, there's a general statement, and this is the world according to Mark, which is not necessarily the accurate world. It's my perception. I think if you dip your toe in the water with AI, you are going to be, you'll be impressed. You'll develop it a little bit, but you might say it's no better than some, you know, really hyped up search function, right? That maybe it's a Google on roids, right? I think then if you take the next step and you start saying, hey, maybe I'll start developing some letters that I want to write. Let me stop there, because I think if you just dip your toe in the water, you have ChatGPT up on your screen, you're just playing with it. By the way, ChatGPT also has a mobile app, and you can do that, as does Copilot. If you're just doing those things, it's just going to become a Google search on roids. If you then take it another step and you say, okay, well, maybe I start playing with, I want to write a letter. I want to write a proposal. I want to find a part on a particular HVAC system, and then dig into maybe the history of a part that we've been having some problems with, and you can start digging in a little deeper and get little views and all that stuff, and start to try to use ChatGPT as a useful vehicle. Just figure out those pieces that you think you can do without somebody actually loading in prompts like we do. And then you'll start seeing kind of that building value. Because again, if you're using ChatGPT, especially ChatGPT-4, and I would very much recommend ChatGPT-4, because again, I think you're going to get a better value, even though you're going to pay, I might be wrong in this, I think it's $25 a month. I think Copilot is $30 a month, but it's a one-year contract. You have to sign up for a year. I think ChatGPT is $25 a month, and you could do that monthly. I think, again, if you start then building that personality with ChatGPT, you're going to start to understand just kind of the added value. If you really want to do it, I don't want to say right, because that would be presumptuous of me. I would, A, reach out to people that are using it. I'm more than happy to talk to people, because I think in general, it just becomes a much more of a learning vehicle for everybody. I do it regularly, talking to people. Like, hey, how are you using? Hey, how are you using? I didn't know you could do that. Those kind of things. That would mean you're going to start jumping in the water with both feet a little more. And then obviously the real jump is hire somebody who can actually start creating applications that will allow you to do things. I do think if you're questioning the legitimacy, that's not the right word, but I'm obviously everybody's got these feelings about ChatGPT and stealing of information. And obviously there's some lawsuits that are out there right now with publishing. New York Times has one out there, and you're going to stay out of the water because of what's the downside of AI. I would really, really, really strongly urge you to just get in the water, because this train is on the track and it is going to run away from you if you don't. Then what's the quote? I think there's a quote that's and I'm not sure who's attributed to this in this, but it's like you're not going to lose your job to AI. You're going to lose your job to somebody who's using AI.
Well, thanks, Mark. We're right at the top of the hour. I know you've got another meeting. I could talk to you for hours. So if you're up for it, I'd love to tap you again sometime down the road. And because we didn't even get into talk about brokerage and investing and what you're seeing in the market. And you're a guy that I look up to a lot. So I'd love to continue this conversation another time.
I'd love to do it again, Chad. Absolutely.